We're just seconds away from a conversation with Senator Jeff Merkley from Oregon. We're going to be talking about wages, workers, agriculture, the economics of working families, trade issues, labor unions, and the toxic environment in Washington, D.C. Click through to listen in. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of the Iowa Business Journals, helpful information for small to mid-sized businesses each month, delivered free to mailboxes in Grimes, Urbandale, Johnston, and West Des Moines. iowabusinessjournals.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources and more for businesses and nonprofits of any size. Aurion.com. And Action Coach Monty Wyatt and Live to Lead with John Maxwell, Carly Fiorina, Daniel Pink, and Deborah Searle. That's Live, the number two, LeadDesMoines.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you've had the opportunity to click through. We are honored to be able to sit down with a senator from Oregon. His name is Senator Jeff Merkley, and he is, for the fifth time, visiting Iowa. We're going to find out a little bit more about him, why he's here, and what in the heck has been going on in Washington, D.C. Not like much of anything. Senator, welcome to Iowa
again. Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I am captivated by your past business experience. You spent a lot of time in the nonprofit sector. Really, it seems as though helping other people. How is being a senator from Oregon much like that?
You know, almost everything I've done has been some aspect of policy. I worked in villages of very poor countries like India and Mexico, then proceeded to work for Secretary Weinberger and then Congress on nuclear deterrence, because the biggest threat to the planet at the time was the potential for nuclear war. And then went on to housing through Habitat for Humanity, developing affordable housing, starting programs to lift up people out of poverty, and finally working for an education nonprofit out in Oregon called World Oregon.
I am familiar with Mr. Weinberger, Secretary Weinberger. I was in D.C. when he gave a major presentation about just that fact. He was with the Reagan administration, I believe, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Yes.
Senator Jeff Merkley, ladies and gentlemen, from Oregon. You've been in Iowa now five times. Is it the coffee? Is it the food? Is it the beautiful landscape?
I think it's the microbrews.
I understand. By the way, you stopped off with some friends of ours the other day at 515 Brewing, that happens to be a nice little brew pub, family-owned, yep. Here in the greater Des Moines metro.
Yes, I did so, and visited a few others as well. You know, microbrews are a big deal out in Oregon, and it's exciting to see all that's happening here in Iowa.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy in not only Iowa, but also in Oregon. Tell us a little bit about what's the root of the economy for business in Oregon.
Well, certainly we're a Pacific Coast state, so trade is a big deal. Agricultural is a big deal. We are a big timber state. We have a lot of high-tech firms. It is a pretty diverse economy, and what we're seeing are pretty good in terms of the employment rate, but not necessarily in terms of working people's real wages going up. Our nation gets richer and richer, but more and more goes to the people at the very top instead of the workers. They're not getting to share in the wealth they're creating.
One of the things that we share with people all the time on the Business News Hour is the disparity between the inflation rate and the actual rate of wages. And inflation is running about 2.7% or so. Wages are last number looked at 2.9%. So basically, it looks as though people are simply treading water. Is that the same thing that you're seeing
in
Oregon?
That's absolutely right, and that's really been true for four decades, from the mid-70s. We had three fabulous decades for workers improving their share of the economy, being able to move into the middle class from 1945 through 1975. But since then, it's been very different, and it's because of trade policy, it's because of anti-union policies having a big role in preventing workers from sharing in this growing wealth.
You know, when you talk about the difference between the golden era of the 1950s and 1960s, I'm a native of Detroit, And so I know what happened in Detroit when some 33% of workers in the United States belong to a labor union. And that drove wages and benefits like what we've not seen in the past. And now less than 10% of workers are aligned with a union. And some economists suggest that that is the reason that workers haven't been able to keep up.
Well, that is a big factor. And also we had President Reagan go and go on the assault against the ability of workers to organize. And then we had an effort that essentially said, oh, for geopolitical reasons, let's try to separate China from Russia. So we will give China full access to our market, even though they play by different rules for wages, for environmental rules, for enforcement. And the result is they can make things more cheaply because they get to play by these different rules. Well, that means your competitor is going to be able to outcompete you, and your American factory is either going out of business or you're going to have to move overseas. That huge damage, not just to the factory, but to the supply chain to the factory. And not just the supply chain, but to the retailers where people spent their paychecks.
We just carried a story last week. We touched on trade just a moment ago. We just carried a story the other day that we're still not in agreement with Canada. And Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had requested a one-on-one meeting with the president. He declined that opportunity last week. How big a deal to Oregonians is this whole issue of trade? Because you mentioned that Oregon is a big trading state.
Well, it's a big factor. People are very nervous. We haven't seen as much of the direct impact that we've seen here in Iowa.
Right.
Basically, President Trump is not pursuing a coherent strategy to eliminate the manufacturing trade deficit. Instead, he's throwing stones at particular enterprises. China's throwing stones back. That's hitting hogs, for example, and that's hitting soybeans. And so you see a tremendous impact right here.
Yeah, we're seeing a tremendous impact on there. And of course, as you know, the president said, well, we've got some farm welfare for you in the tune of several billion dollars to assist. And that seems to, in having conversations with independent farmers, that seems to not be playing well in the agricultural community.
No, one of my colleagues in the U.S. Senate referred to that as golden crutches, and you don't want to use a crutch. You want to sell your products in the world, be able to compete fairly, and this is why I say that this incoherent, just randomly throwing stones in the trade, that produces unanticipated and unappreciated side effects. I mean, we actually have a very powerful case on the manufacturing side. China wants to be able to sell its goods in the United States of America. So we could negotiate a deal which essentially would narrow that manufactured trade deficit over time, allow factories to come back to the United States, bring companies back to our shores. But instead, in this fashion, we say we'll put a tariff on this, they put a tariff on that, and the next thing you know, a soybean farmer or a hog farmer is getting hurt badly.
Well, we understand that the $200 billion worth of tariffs that at a 10% include things like furniture and watches and all kinds of consumer goods. So retailers here in this country said, look, we're not going to eat those costs. We're simply going to pass it along, which further exacerbates, I would suspect, the inflationary pressures that working Americans are having.
Yeah, that's true enough.
Yeah. Senator Jeff Merkley, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking a bit about his visit to Iowa. Okay, so you're in Iowa. You're meeting with Democratic candidates throughout the state. What are you seeing as an outsider coming to Iowa? What are you feeling when you're talking to some of these young men and women who have put their name on the line to go out there, whether it's state house or federal, wherever it happens to be?
I'm hearing enormous frustration with what's happened here in Iowa with the Republican governor, the Republican House, Republican Senate, really passing a bunch of laws that are anti-environment laws, anti-labor laws, taking on the working people, hurting them. And that frustration is producing a lot of passion about getting off the sidelines and getting involved. So we've seen so many candidates jump in, so many women jump in, so many younger candidates jump in, and they're not just putting their name on the ballot, they're knocking on the doors. They're getting on the phones. And that's what's so impressive. And I think we are just going to see an enormous blue wave that's being generated on the ground right here in Iowa. And I think it's a message and a blue wave to send to every corner of this country.
Final question, Senator Merkley. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the spectacle that we've seen that America and much of the world watched with regard to the hearings of the Judicial Committee this past week. As a sitting senator from Oregon, how badly does all of this, do you think, impact the Supreme Court of the United States and people's perception of fairness and equality?
Well, the spectacle was a very sorry sight this week. What we saw is a nominee who's incredibly partisan, who's angry at the world, who basically is not interested in the we the people vision. He comes from a very privileged, elite background where he could kind of behave any terrible way he wanted and never have to apologize for it. And suddenly, Dr. Ford standing up and saying, I want the world to know what you did. She was very gracious. She was very earnest. She was very honest. Some of the most earnest and pure words I've ever heard spoken on Capitol Hill. And we need to pay attention, because I can tell you hundreds of women were calling my office yesterday saying we were impacted by something similar in our lives. And we may have never told our husbands, we may have never told our parents when it happened, but they wanted me to know how common this is, and that we in America need to stand up and pay attention and not put an individual who has lived an abusive life against women on the Supreme Court.
And that, they say, will be all investigated by the FBI over the coming week.
Yes, and I'll say there's lots of other reasons as well this man should not serve. He is all about the 1% in America writing the laws, determining what happens in this country. We have these forces of gerrymandering and voter suppression and dark money that are sucking the soul out of our democratic republic, and the Supreme Court's at the heart of that conversation. They open the doors to the dark money, they open the doors to voter suppression, and they have done nothing about gerrymandering. And Kavanaugh is right there with them, and he's anti-worker, he's anti-environment, he's anti-consumer, he's anti-women's reproductive rights. Do we really want a person on the court who says they want to put the government in the exam room between a woman and her doctor?
Anyone that was watching that piece with Judge Kavanaugh could see that he came out extremely partisan, which is very different for judgeship nominees at that level.
It's completely inappropriate. The Supreme Court is supposed to be above and beyond partisanship. We have started to see that more extreme individuals are being appointed by Republican presidents, and it really is changing the fundamental nature of our Constitution. Our Constitution was written as Jefferson laid it out, the mother principle, we the people, power will produce laws by and for the people. He said to have that, you have to have a distribution of power. He called it the equal voice principle. And instead, what we have is the unequal voice principle that people like Kavanaugh are promoting to put the corporations and the powerful in charge.
Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it, sir.
You're very welcome. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Once again, that was Senator Jeff Merkley, who is on his fifth trip to the Hawkeye State. No doubt we'll be seeing him again. For more about Senator Merkley, we've got links to his website up on our radio blog. You want to get in touch with us? You can do that on Twitter. We're at IOB_NewsHour. Also, me? Yeah, you can find me at Michael Libby. Libby is spelled LIBBIE. More to come on the Business News Hour.